The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
The summer is heating up. The seasonal selection from King's Coast Coffee has shifted once again. The summer swells are rolling in, and this is the perfect roast for warm mornings or an afternoon cold brew. This natural processed coffee from Zambia is bright, fruity, and loaded with flavor. But hurry and grab yours today. This one-of-a-kind roast is only here for the summer months before the seasons change again. So head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com and shake up the way you wake up.
Welcome to episode 57 of Star Wars and Scotch. I'm your host, Kevin, joined by Tim, as usual.
Hey, it's a...
It's what day of the week? Thursday.
It's Thursday, because usually we record this on Friday, but Kevin, you took a vacation last week. I'm taking a little vacation this week.
Yep.
And then we'll go back to normal Fridays. But you guys will still get it on Friday, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to them. It
doesn't matter to you guys.
They get it at the same time, except... 2 weeks ago, Max, I walked by Max's desk and he had this look on his face. I go, what's wrong? And apparently After Effects for the wavelength videos that we do for the video portion was not cooperating. And he had rendered it like three times and it had failed in the last like 30 seconds every time.
Oh,
so he was having a day. That was the day that we put out the tweet that said that the Imperials had raided the Rare Drop office.
Oh, that's what happened.
Yeah, so they messed with the After Effects, but welcome to Star Wars and Scotch. I am tired. Tim will probably make comments the entire time. I went to a business meeting last night and I had two drinks, and Tim is calling me a raging alcoholic now.
Because he wanted to go to the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I had to go to the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, just like apparently you had to have two old fashions.
I did. I was having a very good conversation and it helped move things along. So
okay. Yeah, and the next thing he'll say is like, Tim, surprise, I met George Lucas, and we're going to be in the next Star Wars movie.
Just wait. It'll happen. Don't worry. I'm actually talking to Paul today about whether or not I'm going to go to Celebration.
Hello?
If I'm going, then I'm going to be like, Tim, are we doing this? Because it's 2 weeks before GCX. That's the only reason that we were very skittish about it.
All right. Anyways.
We'll see. Anyway.
If you go to Celebration without me, I will then become the raging alcoholic, and it's not going to be good.
I wouldn't go without you. The only way I would go without you is if you were like, no, I'm not going.
Oh, well then. Okay, perfect. I thought you were telling me that it was like, hey, by the way, I'm going and you can come if you want.
No, because he's going to try and put in to have Star Wars and Scotch on that podcast stage.
Mm. We should really start drinking again if we're going to keep calling it Star Wars and Scotch.
I did my part. The problem is now is that we recorded in the morning, so I have to put scotch in my coffee just to make it work. So,
man, okay, then we will be actually known as the Raging Alcoholics.
Could it be Star Wars and Kahlua? Because that would really go much better for my mornings, if possible.
Yeah, then you have to drive to the office. It just turns into a mini game.
That sounds so illegal and dangerous. But speaking of coffee, I am drinking King's Coast coffee in this mug that no one can get anymore because it's from the summer collection. So it sucks to be you. But Dia de los Muertos launched yesterday. So for you, it'll be 2 days. And hopefully there's some left for you. But if not, there's more stuff coming down the pipeline. Holidays are coming. Black Friday, more cocoa. Stay tuned. KingsCoastCoffee.com.
Man, we're going to have to do like Christmas stuff.
We were talking at the gym this morning. Got to order the turkeys already. Yeah,
man, that's wild.
From our little butcher guy.
It's just crazy to think that this time last year we were getting ready for Mando season 2.
Yep. A year ago.
Yeah, and now we're getting ready for Book of Boba.
Those episodes are so good, though, of us speculating. We actually got to the first time we had Alex and Molly on was speculating about the season 2 trailer.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That was a year ago?
About, yeah, a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. We should have them back on the show.
I could reach out. They would do it. They're the best. They're the most easygoing. They're like, yeah, whatever. But then he makes the videos, and he's like, I'm Star Wars. He has this amazing video voice, but then when you talk to him off of the camera, he's like, yeah, you know.
Whatever. He's very chill. They're very, very chill.
Yeah, I like them a lot.
We love them.
Good people. They're going to Celebration because I was talking to Molly about it when we were setting up for GCX stuff. So I got to make that decision this week. Anyway, so I just sent Tim this Bring Home the Bounty.
Okay, yeah. So at first, it looks like it's an NFT project. That's what I thought this was because you scroll down and the first thing is like this hologram. And I was like, well, we could just go ahead and just buy these with Ethereum. But it's going to be, so it says get your tracking fobs ready. So is this going to be like a thing you can collect? Is this like.
I think it's a marketing campaign.
Okay. So you don't think it's anything more than that? Am I looking far too deep into this?
Every Tuesday from now through December 28th, this is straight from StarWars.com, by the way, you can expect reveals of new items inspired by everything from the Book of Boba Fett, premiering exclusively on Disney Plus December 29th. The Mandalorian class to classics like the Skywalker Saga films, animated series including Bad Batch and Visions, and much more.
Oh, okay. So if I would have scrolled down a little bit more, I would have seen that this is nothing more than just Disney wanted to get more money out of me.
Well, Lucas, because it's celebrating Lucas's 50th anniversary.
Yeah, but you do know that's all just going to Disney.
It doesn't all go to
it's
Disney.
It's all going into the mouse's pocket. Kevin, they took away my annual pass. They're not forgiving.
You think Mickey goes down to Texas to the Skywalker Ranch and he's like, ho-ho, it's time to pay up the protection money.
Probably.
Like he's part of the mob.
Yeah, he shakes him up. Kicks over a Yoda statue. Don't make me kick R2. I'll do it.
I feel like the Mickey from South Park is probably the most realistic representation of Mickey when he beats the shit out of the Jonas Brothers. Don't you ever talk back to me again.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mickey. Yes, sir, Mr. Mouse. But they've got a lot of really cool items. The first one that
you
I saw
about the Crocs
is this Mandalorian-inspired shoes from Crocs. And, you know, if I was someone... Okay, so if I was, you know, working in the medical field... Or if I was someone who was on a boat a lot, I would totally rock these. My kid loves wearing Crocs right now. He just
kids should all wear Crocs.
Kick on and kick off and put on. Wait, who wears Crocs?
I said all kids should wear Crocs. They're so easy to deal with.
Yeah,
with
and then
them.
You just hose the shoes down. They're amazing. Yep. They're so good. We got Ahsoka, Grogu, and Mandalorian-inspired sunglasses from Diff. What is Diff?
100% somebody's doctor is going to walk in the next 2 months.
With Mandalorian Crocs
with the Mando Crocs on?
Oh, 100%. Most definitely.
Like, good morning. How's your penis?
Yeah. Ah, I see you're also a Mandalorian fan.
You're also a Mando fan. Yes, I am. Now take your pants off.
Now turn your head and cough.
Oh, God. So uncomfortable. Yeah, I have no idea what Diff is. Let's see. Diff sunglasses.
We got pop figures.
Do they come in different colors or anything?
Well,
or
they said Ahsoka, Grogu, and Mandalorian inspired sunglasses. So I would assume
those
the
are
blue
Ahsoka.
One or the Ahsoka ones.
Diff eyewear.
The Grogu's Grogu's are green.
Charitable eyewear. Oh, that's cool.
Oh, okay. So reach. We're on the website right now. The Mandalorian ones are probably my favorite. They are like aviators.
So Diff
really
does
cool.
what. Diff does what Tom's does.
You buy one, they give one?
I don't think it's one-to-one, but they've based on proceeds of what they've received from their sales, 2 million people with reading received reading glasses in the past 4 years.
Oh, that's awesome. Couldn't afford them. We have to buy a pair.
Yeah, I'm going to get the Diff.
Okay, so what's really cool is so they've got one, two, three, they've got five different styles, and they range from Grogu themed, which are green, like they're the oversized wingtip kind of glasses, same as the Ahsoka ones.
Oh, click. They have a ton of them.
They have a ton of them. They have the Mando, the Luke Skywalker. The Luke Skywalker X-Wing ones are really cool. They're aviators, or like they're the aviator cut. But they're yellow lens. They look really, really cool. They've got stormtroopers, Darth Vader, Chewbacca.
The R2 blue light ones are literally what Paul wears.
Yeah, yeah, the blue aviators.
Stormtrooper ones are freaking hot.
I like the Darth Vader ones a lot.
Mando ones are nice. The Luke ones are my favorite.
Gonna have to get a pair.
Ooh, I'm gonna send these to my wife. Maybe I can get these for Christmas. These Luke ones are awesome.
And then they have a bunch of other stuff here as well. They've got, I mean, as going back to this whole bring home the bounty with the new galaxy spanning Star Wars products. They've got jackets. They've got different action figures. So it's just going to be a bunch of stuff every week. So this week was Shop the Collection, week two. And that's it. That's the only thing that they say. So next week they will reveal what's for that one. It looks like, Kevin, towards the end, They've got themes up as well. So week two is Mando. Week three is Bo-Katan. Week four is Ahsoka. Week five is Rex. Week six is Grogu. Week seven is a Tusken Raider. Week eight is a Gronk droid with a bow. So that's on November 30th. So it's right after Thanksgiving. Then we go into December for week nine, which is the Lucasfilm 50th anniversary. And then week 10 is really interesting because it's an Xbox controller. Or it's just a video game controller. It looks a lot like an Xbox controller. But I wonder if that means we are going to get some type of video game reveal or announcement or showcase. Like, we know that there's video games coming. You know, there's a lot of different studios that are making these games for this IP. I'm very, very curious to see what happens next. And then week 11 is Boba Fett. That's December 21st. That's going to be right before the Book of Boba drops. And then week 12 is also really interesting because we have two lightsabers crossed together. One is very Sith looking. The other one is very neutral, very Jedi looking as well. So I'm very curious to see what that's about. I can't figure out whose lightsaber that is. It's a very interesting hilt. It's got like it's got a claw that comes. I feel like we've seen this lightsaber before.
There was somebody tweeted it at me and I can't find it now, but apparently there was a leak that we're getting another video game trailer before the end of the year a Star Wars game.
Well, then week 10 would make sense.
Yeah, that's why it's the stars are aligning in my head. I wonder if that's Fallen Order 2.
Oh, wow. That would be really, I mean, like that would make sense because it looks like an Xbox controller. Jedi Fallen Order was pushed very heavy on Xbox.
Did the incredible commercial for Jedi Fallen Order.
Fantastic commercial where you're like, it was a lot like Battlefront where you're like going back and forth.
It was the daughter with the dad, mm-hmm. and he was watching her.
He was the Inquisitor.
you even got the awesome
lightsaber hilt that they sent you. So Microsoft was really heavy in Jedi Fallen Order. So that could make sense.
I got that through Mixer.
Yeah, you got that through Mixer.
It's the only thing they ever gave me.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool to see the roadmap, even though it's very marketed heavy towards products and new accessories to buy. But it does look like we're going to get some new things that we don't have to pay for as well for the rest of the year, which is cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to find, I don't know where that leak came from. Oh, here we go. Found it. NME.com. A new Star Wars game could be getting announced in December. So it says new Star Wars game.
Oh,
so maybe it's not Fallen Order. Well, maybe
remember, we also we've got a lot of studios that are working on games now that haven't said anything. We know that Ubisoft has a Star Wars game, right? And I think the people over at Massive are working on that.
So they're actually using the Bring Home the Bounty as part of the speculation. So it could go either way. It could be a new game. It could be the existing. It could be a trailer
for. Sure, it could be a DLC. It could be a lot of things. But my point is that there's still a lot of studios that have confirmed they're working on Star Wars IPs that have not announced what they are yet.
Or it could be a regular ass Xbox controller.
Oh my God. Could you imagine if it was just a Star Wars themed Xbox? It was an Xbox Elite controller, and they're like, get your Star Wars themed Xbox Elite controller for Christmas. No, but that's not the right time to do it. If you were going to release that, you would push it out with a Black Friday sale.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that on the second week of December before Christmas. There's no way.
Especially with the shipping deadlines.
Uh-huh. Shipping deadlines are the 21st. There's no way that's going to work. If you want it before Christmas.
I think USPS was saying, because they're, as Pete pointed out in our Kings Coast meeting, that they're slowing mail, quote, to the point where it was in the 70s.
1970.
Whew! Meaning Tim and I weren't even alive yet. Shipping deadline, you know, they're saying like the 11th of December. So I would think that if they were going to release a controller that people wanted to open on Christmas, it would be done Black Friday time from a marketing perspective.
So anyway. I think saying a gameplay trailer or something to that effect is on point.
On point. Speaking of rumors.
Oh.
Leaked set photos from season 3 of The Mandalorian, because they are filming right now. You said our buddy Mando posted a picture.
Yeah, he
of
just
himself
a little.
Yesterday.
I think there was a little IG that I saw. Then he was like, it was just saying like, "Hey, we're filming season 3." So that was pretty cool.
Pablo. It's Pedro.
All right, so Pablo Pascal.
You're gonna make him angry, Tim. It's Pedro.
It was a bit from last year. I figured I'd just keep going.
I know.
So we got some. Yeah. So this is interesting. So they're doing some outside stuff with a big blue screen, but they still have like real vegetation. So it's interesting to see them do stuff in the back lots versus not as much inside in the volume.
In the volume. Yeah.
But this is still on the same property as where the volume's at. It's just their back lots. Which is really neat.
Did you see the door in the last picture?
And they ask, is the Mandalorian headed to Mandalore? Well, duh. We know that.
If we don't go to Mandalore this season, I'll be pretty disappointed.
I mean, there's nowhere else to go.
I'm beyond excited to see Mandalore in live action. Well, the only time we've seen it is in Rebels?
No, we've seen it in Clone Wars. Clone Wars and in Rebels. We've seen it. We know what it looks like. We know what it looked like before with Duchess of Teen. We know what it looked like during the occupation of Death Squad. And then we then saw it one last time in Rebels. But we never really got inside the main city. We saw Mandalore from the desert. In Clone Wars, we saw it a lot under the dome. We saw what it was like to live in the city. And then in Rebels, we got the other taste of Mandalore, which is this very desolate, very just barren wasteland. And so it'll be very interesting to see what it looks like now after where are we at now? So we're like 6 to 7 years after we saw it on Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be very, very cool to see what, like, hopefully we get flashbacks of what happened before. And then we'll get, so we have an understanding of what happened when the Empire got there. And then we see the aftermath of what it looked like when the Empire just completely just stripped Mandalore of all of its resources.
And we, aside from what we've seen in Mandalorian, we know nothing about what happened to the Mandalorians in Mandalore, correct?
We have no idea. The last time we see Mandalore, we leave them with kicking the Empire off. The Mandalorian people, Bo-Katan was left with the Darksaber. Everything was supposed to be great. Everything was supposed to be amazing. Bo-Katan finally got what she wanted. She finally got what she deserved. She was Mandalore. She was the leader of her people. And so everything was okay. And so I really think what's going to happen is that Bo-Katan is going to have to face her fears, and she's going to have to face the past and revisit and relive these things. And it's going to really showcase the not so great side of Bo-Katan. Like, we all we see is like she's just this badass, right? Like, she's always just kicking butt. And in you know, Mandalore and Live with Katie Sackhoff, like, she's just killing it, man. Like, it just, she's a really cool character. But now she has to become vulnerable. We're gonna see a really raw side of Bo-Katan, I think, because she has to admit defeat. She has to admit her loss. And like, for a Mandalorian, like, that's a no-no. You know, it's very samurai. You know, it's like you'd rather die, you know, than admit defeat. Like, they're a warrior class, which is just really cool. I think that's why people just love the Mandalorian people.
Yeah, you go back to the non-canon stuff, which I noticed two of the races, not playable, but two of the races you encounter in is it SWTOR? It's SWTOR, are in the Lorna D book as Nihil.
Oh, really?
One of them's a Gormak, and the other one was a Colicoid, which is like an insect.
Mm-hmm.
And they mention them in passing. You know, they're like the large Gormak, or, you know, so-and-so with his fangs. Lorna says something about stabbing him, and, you know, it's, you know, did you know he was a Colicoid? So they say it really quick.
Uh-huh.
But it was just cool to hear that. You know, I don't know the canon, if both races have been introduced, but as someone who played that older stuff, it's nice to hear them bringing some of that stuff back. So I do hope a lot of the stuff with the Mandalorians does make its way into canon. A lot of it wouldn't conflict with anything they currently have. I know they made Mandalore the Great canon, and the story of the Mandalores, meaning the leaders of the tribes, I should say, are super interesting, you know, and they're like gods, basically. And mythology of them battle in the battles against the Jedi and all this. It's just cool shit. So I hope that going to Mandalore, exploring the politics of where they're at,
yeah,
leads to enriching the history and canonizing a lot of what we know, or at least bringing new canon in that's cool and badass.
I think what they did with season one, it really piqued our interest for the Mandalorian people and the Mandalorian ways. And like, they really touched on a lot of things that everybody loved, right? They talked about, like you said, Mandalore the Great. They talked about Death Squad, and they talked about you know, like, how they came and saved the children. They brought them in, and so like, it was cool to see that. And then in season two, it felt like we lost that Mandalorian side. And like, and it was more about the child, and it was about Din. It was about the actual character Din Djarin, and it wasn't about being a Mandalorian for season two. It was a character development. It was allowing us to really understand who he is as a person, not so much as who he is as a Mandalorian. And so I really hope they get back to that whole, like, really having an opportunity to explain more about Mandalore, what it is to be Mandalorian, the way, you know, all the stuff that was really cool in season one that we talked about. And then hopefully they bring it back, because I really miss that. I want that the Mandalorian people in this planet, people love it. And they've never dived into it within canon, you know, within the canonical series of Star Wars. It hasn't been touched on, like you said, in the expanding universe in Legends. The Mandalorian culture is expressed in a very deep way. Like, you know, all these crazy facts that no one really does know if you follow the canon,
right,
part of Star Wars.
And they you know, little things, they don't call them foundlings, but anyone who can pass the trials can become a Mandalorian in the old lore,
right? But that's not how it is,
right,
in Star Wars. It's either you are born on the planet Mandalore, or you are brought in as a foundling. That is it. And so that's very interesting.
So they introduce you to, I forget her name, which tribe she's from. Shae Vizsla. So she's a Vizsla.
Uh-huh.
And she is Mandalore in the game. And you become friends with her, and you go to a point where you're in one of their tribal meetings. So at this point, all the tribes are working together and serving under Mandalore, but they don't like each other.
Ah.
And if you look at it, it's quick introduction. So again, you have to pay attention. And then if you keep subtitles on, it says the name. And there's also a Fett in the tribal council.
What?
Keep in mind, this is pre Disney.
Oh, right. Because then okay, I get it.
Right, but even then, if Fett was a foundling, you could still connect it in the sense that foundlings take on the names of. It's an adoption, essentially, if you think about
it. Right, because Jango was not... Jango was a foundling, right?
Yes, the Mandalorian Season 2.
Right, and they said Jango was a foundling, and then Boba, by blood right, was...
Right.
Was that, was the rightful owner. Got it. It's been a bit. We should probably go back and rewatch Season 2 at some point.
Yeah, I'm going to do that soon. But, it's just interesting how they could connect the dots and introduce that. And there's a rumor out there that SWTOR is going to get a remake, not a remake, but like an overhaul graphics, the whole nine yards. And everyone's like,
then I will jump in.
Yeah. There's also a rumor that it would go to console, but that rumor's also persisted for 10
plus years.
Would
they do a wipe? Would they just do a full server wipe and start from the beginning? Or do like a WoW classic?
They're the only MMO that has not done like a legacy server yet, where you can go back and relive the original raid. And the problem with that was the raids were broken when they launched. I remember going into it was called like Infinite Engine, I think, and it was getting like 7 frames per second.
Ugh.
trying to raid. It was impossible, and it was like that for 3 or 4 weeks, and that's literally what killed the game. Was that people that wanted the end game content couldn't experience it. So I don't know. It's all rumors, but they did just redo the combat system. So it used to be you'd pick like Jedi Knight, and then your Jedi Knight would splinter off. I think it was Vanguard and Guardian.
Uh-huh.
And one was DPS based with 3 skill trees and 2 lightsabers. The other one was 1 lightsaber and more protection tank based. You could DPS though. But now apparently they're going to revamp it. So you, instead of doing that at level 10, at level 1, when you make your character, you pick Guardian or Vanguard instead of Knight and then splintering it off. So they're redoing a lot of the systems. And again, I've heard time and time again, that game still makes them money, because every time something like Book of Boba is going to come out, I guarantee you the population is going to go whoop and strike. Because people are like, I want to play that.
Yeah, I miss Star Wars.
And they put art, so like you can buy all the Bad Batch helmets as cosmetics and put them on your character or your companions, whatever you want.
That's cool.
They have Mando armor. It's not his exact armor, but it looks just like his helmet, and it comes with the rifle that he has.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they keep it relevant. Kylo's style lightsabers in the game. You can put any crystal you want and mod it, and you know, you could have a green version of it if you wanted. So they keep up to date with everything. I'm just interested to see what they do long term. And it's literally, again, besides Visions now, it's the only non-canon content that Disney is continually supported.
So, I mean, it would be very interesting to see them do like one day just servers shut down and they pull a Fortnite. Like it's just a black hole for like 24 to 48 hours. And then they flip back on and it's a new graphics engine. It's like everything is considered canon and it's just like, that's it. It's like what would a transition look like for that, where it was just like, hey, none of this is canon. Okay, we're going into stuff now that it's considered canon. Like how would you do that?
They would have to remake the game from the bottom up.
That's the whole thing. But like, how do you transition? Like, how do you convince your player base who are looking for a continuity between, you know, all of the transitions from DLC to DLC, right? Like there's been like these beautiful story arcs within Knights of the Old Republic, right?
Yeah.
So then this is your new story arc. How do you get to that point? How do you essentially create a multiverse within an MMORPG? Because that's what you're doing.
It's difficult because you'd have to remake the game and put people on new servers, but let them keep access to their old servers, and then you're dividing your population. There's a whole mess of that. So
it sounds messy as hell.
Yeah, it might be just easier just to make a new game, or to be like, this is SWTOR 2.0 or something. I don't know.
What if it's not Knights of the Old Republic? What if it's the High Republic?
I'd shit a brick.
Could you imagine if it was High Republic instead of the Old Republic?
I'd lose my mind.
It would make sense. Like, so honestly, happy. Like it would be a really cool period to have a video game for. But I don't know if they're gonna do it, because we've said before, Old Republic really lives very, very well in video games. High Republic is definitely living very, very well within the books and comics area. Do you think that they break out into a video game, or do you let that live as the graphic novel section?
It might have. It's going to be years before you see that in,
or if ever.
Eventually.
You think so?
Yeah. It'll all.
It's just. It feels like every period or point within Star Wars like has a specific section to live in. You know, like Old Republic, we've only ever seen in video games. You know, High Republic has only been in books right now. The reign of the Empire, whatever that timeline, whatever that period is called, that's always been in movies. You know, it's just like it feels like everything has a spot. The period between Episode 2 to Episode 4 is cartoons. You know, it's just like everything has like a place. And so I wonder if they start crossing more, because we haven't really played other than Battlefront, which is still single. It's like they had a story in 2, but it's still wasn't all that great. And then like video games has always just been sandbox right now, or an in-between moment. So I'm curious to see like what they, if they really start to take like the bigger periods in Star Wars and really start to develop them into different mediums.
It's again, this is all the speculation, but eventually, you know, you'll have your High Republic game. Obviously, Acolyte is down the road at some point. I guarantee you a High Republic trilogy will be within this decade.
But Acolyte it's not High Republic, though.
It's the end of the High Republic era.
So is it still considered High Republic, though, or is it like one of those the gaps?
You want my theory?
Yeah, go for it.
I think Acolyte's going to walk you right up to Darth Plagueis.
Do you know how that book starts?
I don't remember. It's been 15
years. Book starts with Darth Plagueis. Darth Plagueis is in a cave with his master. I forget his master's name. And they're doing a reconnaissance mission on a planet in a cave looking for specific minerals or something like that. Anyways, it ends up being a booby trap. And his master and him, they figure it out. And his master... At some point, the cave explodes and his master stops this big boulder, and Plagueis just realizes, he's like, at that moment, I knew, he's like, I could never overtake him with strength, because Plagueis was in a very strong Sith. Yeah. He was very smart. He was really, really smart. He was a scientist. And so his race is from the banking clan. That race. I forget what they're called.
Moon?
Moon,
something like Munes. That.
And so then, his master's catching it, and he force pushes him, or helps the rock fall down and kills him. And that's how he takes his master. And then that's how his book starts. It's really good.
I think they're going to lead you up to that, since that's like the bridge between the two eras.
That would be very interesting.
Maybe we'll meet Plagueis' master. Maybe the first apprentice is the Acolyte. Well, they said the Acolyte's not technically going to be a Sith, right? Or will they? I don't know.
It's just a dark. I thought it was like a dark force user.
Yeah, I want to. And they're starting to lean into it. If you the more you get into High Republic, you can see the dark side of the force. I am maintaining, and this will segue us perfectly into Rising Storm. I maintain that although the quote Jedi have not seen Sith for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Is absolute bullshit, and they're keeping it quiet so Padawans don't get curious and start roaming around.
Look what happens in Rising Storm.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like, you know, at that moment when I'm terrible with names, the pretty boy, as he's just like, I had sex,
Elzar.
And then an Elzar man just like, he's just so mad at himself for having sex, and he's just like blowing ships up with the force, like, you know, stuff like that is just wild. And yeah, of course, like, why would it, masters definitely wouldn't want their apprentice to see that.
Well, even at the end, he to win that fight,
mm-hmm.
he definitely taps in.
Oh yeah, multiple times. But he liked it. He's like,
oh,
no,
he loves it.
He's like, I can control it. I know how to master this. I was like,
I've heard that 100 times.
Like, yes.
But you can tell Stellan now is all thrown off, and he's a little
weird about
it.
Stellan was like that from the beginning, though. He was having those doubts at the beginning of the book.
Elzar is also the one that has the visions.
He has the visions as well. So he, that's, it was the same. As soon as he started talking about visions and how he was playing into it, I was like, oh, so it's just like what happened with Anakin, where he was playing into his visions with Padme. And those visions were planted by the Emperor.
I wonder who's
manipulating them.
I would bet there's at minimum a dark force user in our midst, and we have no idea who it is.
Yeah, someone's planted for sure, because someone's messing around with the council, most definitely.
Because look at Skeer,
everything
Skeer's going through right now is the same. It's happening at the same time as Elzar.
Okay, so here's a theory though. So instead of going down the route of putting a Sith within the ranks, what if it was the Awakening that started to just disrupt the overall flow of the Force? And so maybe the Force was kind of like a lot like Loki, like the timeline was kept and everything was perfect within like its own chaos. And so once the Drangir were awoken, and because the Sith were so afraid of something that was so evil, was more evil than the dark side of the Force, what if their presence is literally just throwing everything out of whack?
Maybe
because everybody was good, Skeer was fine. Like nobody was having like weird visions or anything until they moved the Sith statues from the space station.
Who was the Jedi that the like amorphous blob dude?
The amorphous blob dude.
Was it Umber? Was that his name? The one who has the cool voice because he's wearing the exoskeleton thing.
Oh,
and he talked like this.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name now, but he was so much fun in this book.
No, he was the was he the librarian or the bookkeeper?
He was the keeper of the relics.
Yes.
For the Republic Fair.
Yeah. Every time I heard him talk, I kept on thinking he was a robot Jedi. And I forgot that it was an exosuit.
I'm trying to see Relic Keeper, High Republic.
Man, he was, Valor.
Now you know. Now you know why I wanted him to say it.
In Valo, around Valo, chapter 800, inside the core of Valo.
Valo.
If they don't do a, if Valo doesn't show up in a live action at some point, I'd be very upset.
Valo was in something. I was looking on Wikipedia. It's not the first appearance. Similar to the way Hosnian Prime was made for a sequel trilogy, but we've now looped back to Hosnian Prime playing a major role in the High Republic. Valo had some sort of link.
High Republic. Star Wars Insider. From a certain point of view, The Empire Strikes Back. Valo shows up there.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's all High Republic.
Yeah, it's only mentions. It's not like anything significant. But one thing I've noticed, and if you get the chance and you've read Rising Storm, please go and watch Star Wars Explained, Alex's 60 Easter eggs and facts from Rising Storm, because it connects it to the larger universe, and I love that shit. And one thing I've noticed is they're taking a lot of obscure stuff from non-canon and making it canon in passing. Just like I mentioned the two races in the Lorna D book, the Gormak and the Colicoid. There's just lots of planets and names and things and even people and last names sometimes that you're like, oh, okay, that's from blah, blah, blah. And Alex does a really good job of cataloging all of it and putting it right in front of you. So highly recommend going and checking out that YouTube video, because there's a lot in there.
Oh yeah.
That links back to the broader universe and connects everything really nicely. But one of the big things too in this was Chancellor So. She played probably a bigger role than she's played so far. And
her,
I love her voice.
Her dogs are great.
Oh, her big cat thing, whatever their names are.
Guard beasts. Whatever you want to call them. They're dope. Yeah, you're right. They have cool names.
They got the throwdown in this one. We
got to learn about the Togruta more, which I thought was really cool.
They're so cool. Yeah, I didn't know like the Huntress was like their leader. I'm like, oh my God, they're badass.
Yeah, the Togrutas. I didn't know they were a warrior class. They're like they're
big
badass.
Time.
Yeah,
they're like a hunting culture.
I had no idea. That's news to me. But yeah, they sound really neat. I want to see more about the Togruta. Like, people love Ahsoka, you know, but like, they don't love her because she's Togruta. They love her because she snips. Like, she's just a really fun character. And it's cool to see them put another, like, start to explain more of the Togruta. So putting more into, you know, old, like, the High Republic is very, very cool, because it's a nice way to usher them in. I had no idea that they were their own independent system, and they were in the outer rim. I had no idea.
And they played a major role in driving the Nihil back.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Nihil politics were in this book are that's
very
where
intense.
It all starts
well,
to go.
Well, Martian's just zapping people and crushing heads and stuff. He's pissed.
So in the Lorna D book, I don't want to spoil too much, but there's flashbacks, and there's flashbacks to how Lorna became a Tempest runner. And those flashbacks connect to Martian's father, Asgard. And you get to see the relationship between Pan, remember Kossiv, the other Tempest runner who died, the crazy mm-hmm. one who was always high? Pan, Kossiv,
right,
Lorna,
storm.
Asgard, and Martian. It really completes the picture of why we are where we are at the end of this book.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it actually came after, because it was more like filling in a blank, like, oh.
Yeah.
On the Lorna D book is because everything that happens at the end of this with Pan and Lorna
sure
makes 10 times more sense now, and it takes you beyond what happens with them after this too.
Oh,
so now
okay.
you really understand
so
Pan
gap,
and Lorna's relationship.
Is this a gap filler between
this
two
is
and
a
three?
Flashback. This is a flash. This book is basically a flashback to Lorna's life and how she became Nihil.
Okay,
and how she became a Tempest runner, and then during it is what's happening with Lorna post Rising Storm. And I don't want to give too much away.
Got it.
But it'll fill in the blanks for the past and take you to the next step of the High Republic journey. Lorna is a very interesting character. She's got some vibes of Hera. I know that's a really weird comparison, mm-hmm. but once you dive into this book, which is only a little over 7 hours, I have 45 minutes left. You'll understand what I'm saying. So, I highly recommend the Lorna D book. I tried the other one in between them, the young adult one, and I could not do it. I tried so hard and just couldn't do it. But yeah, the Rising Storm and Tempest Runner books really complement each other, and really tells a complete story of the Nihil. But like you said, Martian's going off the deep end. What's the weapon that he has? The regulator? Equalizer?
Yeah. It's the one he gets from his aunt. Okay, so can we talk about how crazy his that entire part was?
Uh-huh.
That was the whole thing from beginning to end was just so weird. And I felt I also love that they brought in the Navigator Guild into this, because that's a pull in from Thrawn.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a pull in from Thrawn back into High Republic, which is really, really neat. I love that. Just the entire, it really showed how, like you said, how far off the deep end Martian has gone, and how he was he was definitely more conservative, very quiet, kept to himself. Like, he understood his role as just I give them the past, and then they go off and they do their thing, and I keep my hands clean. He is far beyond that now. He is totally down to just get his way, get his hands dirty, and just kill anyone that gets in his way.
And in the Lorna D book, you'll see that the rule of the three was highly respected by the Nihil.
Yeah.
So his father really, really, really was very important to the Nihil. And that was his father talks about how the rule of the three is the reason that the Nihil can exist, because they have balance.
Oh, okay.
And because there's balance, and everyone, it's a kind of an everyone eats philosophy.
Right.
You know, the Storm, the Tempest Runners, and the Eye, they all get their shares, and they all get to join in the spoils of their raids. So if you break that, it breaks what the Nihil are in the system of that they've built.
Mm-hmm.
So Martian going off the deep end isn't necessarily Martian going off the deep end, more than he's just trying to seize control of the faction. And he's a really good talker.
Yes.
he's very polarizing. He's got that villain-esque dictator type of speech.
Yep. Yeah, it's the persona that people can get behind, you know?
Right. I'm trying to find what this weapon was. But yeah, that whole thing with the ice caves and the snake and his weird-ass aunt was the leveler.
The leveler. And it's a cosmic like beast thing. It reminds me a lot of what we saw in Loki.
It has to be something connected to the dark side of the Force. Yes. That's my theory. That was like literally Sith magic.
Well, yeah, and you had to be a Force. You have to be Force sensitive in order to like to use it.
He's 100% Force sensitive. Oh, there's no doubt.
Dude,
he's
wielding a lightsaber like he's used it forever. Like as soon as when he got Great Storm and he just turns on his lightsaber and he was just like the way that they explain it, it sounded like someone who had used a lightsaber before, someone who has training, someone who felt very comfortable holding a lightsaber. So there's definitely more to Marcion that they haven't told us yet.
There's more to me than you know, Tim.
I am a transformer.
Well, the
more
big thing too,
the eye.
And I think it's going to drive him to bring back the Nihil and unite them under him and not have Tempest Runners anymore. The big thing, also he has a new mask, by the way, and the new mask is awesome. The big thing with him is he lost Mari Santeca now. So he lost the paths. He can't do that anymore.
He can't generate them. So in order to maintain control, he would have to get rid of his runners.
Right.
He just needs an army behind him now, because at this point, he's ready to just kill off the Republic.
Right. And in the Lorna book, it starts out with Lorna basically saying that she's pretty sure the Nihil are over. It's dead. Like the dream is gone.
Yeah.
And no one knows where Marcion is. Not a soul. No one can find him. So I think he's going to return with quite a vengeance and the Nihil, because they're not going to kill the Nihil. They just brought them in. So I think he's going to return with quite. Also, we can probably fill in the blanks as we dive into these comics in the next few weeks, too. Mm-hmm. The IDW ones and whatnot, because Marcion's in them. So I'm interested to see how that helps fill in the blanks for us. But I was so curious about him in the beginning. I didn't really understand what purpose he was going to serve and how he was going to play into the story. Now I'm really liking him because he's into some dark, weird shit. We have no idea what race he is. Because apparently even he doesn't seem to know what race he is.
No, he doesn't know where he came from. There's gap. It feels like almost he has like some memory issues too. Like there's just parts that he can't recall.
I'll tell you this much. His father treats him like shit. I know that's not his real father too. So I'm curious to learn more about his upbringing and how Asgard came to get him as a son, and why he made him his son and treats him like shit. So, you know, I got questions. One other thing from the book. I mean, the book was great. It's a good story. It definitely was not good as the one with the Drengir. It's very long. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Tim, but I feel like it didn't have to be that long.
No, there was a lot of finite details that I was just like, okay, I didn't need to know that. The person who wrote this one was different from the last one, right?
I think Charles Soule wrote this one.
And so, but he wanted to break it up. And I think that's why he wanted to break it up into such small chapters, is because of the amount of detail that was put into it. Like there was so much scene
Kevin
setting.
Scott wrote this one.
And then who wrote the other one?
Charles Soule wrote Light of the Jedi and Claudia Gray wrote Into the Dark.
I like Claudia Gray.
Into the Dark was the best one so far.
Into the Dark. It kept me like this one was hard for me to get through. I just got bored.
God, there's so many other books that I didn't even know.
I liked the Marcion parts a lot. Those were fun. But when we kept on going back to Valo and we kept on talking about the fair and we kept on talking about all of that and setting the scene, like I know they have to do it because they really need to showcase like what is going on. Like this is the golden age of the Republic. And like they're trying really, really hard to showcase that. And like, you know, they're going through all this new technology, and they bring up things that we hear in later when we get into the Skywalker saga. So like that's cool. Like you said, they're doing a lot of connecting, but this book was just it was not my favorite.
Yeah, and it had lots of good pieces in it. My favorite Easter egg was them making fun of It's a Small World.
Yes, that was very good.
Yeah, that one was funny. I did love the ending. I thought it was very powerful. It set us up for cool stuff. Loden's goodbye to us. We thought we were getting him back, and we didn't. He ended up dying at the end because his body just couldn't handle it anymore. But
I feel like we all knew that was going to happen.
He was a badass at the end. Like,
yeah,
he did everything he possibly could to make that happen. And I'm glad he got to say goodbye to Bell at least.
Zedefar needed that.
Yeah.
He felt that was his closure. He felt so lost throughout the entirety of the book. And you really feel for him. Oh, I'm just now seeing a render of what Ember looks like. And Ember in my head was like this really like fluffy, cute dog. And what they have drawn out, it looks like a dragon. It's essentially a dragon. And that's terrifying. Anyways,
Ember's awesome.
Yeah, Ember's dope. I love the connection between Bell and Ember. I think it's fantastic. But I felt really bad for Bell because he needed that closure. And so for him to get that was I feel better about it. But yeah. I love Loden's. I love his character, though. Like, I love that character. It's sad that we don't get him longer, but we needed a character death. Somebody needed to go.
Yeah.
And make the old guy go. Yeah. It just, it makes sense. It's like the Ben Kenobi of the High Republic.
He also knew that it was his time.
Uh-huh.
And he did it gracefully, but man, he was just a good way to send him off. And show how badass he truly was as a Jedi. But like you said, Bell needed, but Bell also is going to be screwed in the head now too.
Yep.
And we had another vision from Elzar at the end of this one too. So, I think this is all culminating to a pretty interesting ending of phase one, especially because they just announced the phase two books and whatnot. So we're kind of rocketing through High Republic. It feels quick, but I know it's not. But
there has been a lot of content.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't finished the comics. There's a new book. The next book doesn't come out till January or February. So we have some time to catch up on the other content. My biggest issue is I have trouble reading the preteen, you know, 12-13 year old books.
Thankfully, those are just like they're little connector stories, and I don't think they're a part of like anything of the big picture. So I think we're okay with skipping that. But those are
I watched
hard
the recap
stomach.
Videos anyway too. I don't completely ignore the story. I go on YouTube. There's guys that do 10-minute recaps.
I should do that.
Yeah, just so you get the story, but. Yeah, I've enjoyed it so far. Even though it wasn't our favorite book, if you're digging this and you're on the fence, read it. It fleshes out the story. It's good. If you don't want to read it, you can get it on Audible. I think there's another book I have to do on Audible. Oh, but I got Ronin in the mail yesterday.
Oh yeah, you were really excited about that one.
Yeah, the vibe of Ronin is my favorite vibe of all the Visions content. So I'm stoked to dive into that and see.
But it's not a canon. That's not a canon story. It's just a fun Star Wars themed story. Right?
But I like what you said a few weeks ago. I like that they're doing this.
Yeah,
it feels
it's
good. It feels right. You know, let people tell stories. It doesn't have to be, you know, it's just canon. Does it fit into timelines?
Right.
Like, let's just let people tell stories. Who cares?
Most definitely. My fear is, though, again, is that just it continues to muddle the lines between what's considered an actual Star Wars story and what is considered a fun Star Wars story. You know, like that is the one thing that I'm just trying to figure out is how do you keep that balance? You know?
Yeah. Well, you can't release too much non-canon content. So it'll be few and far between, in my opinion, because they're going to want to tell more stories. We also haven't heard anything about movies aside from the
Rogue
Squadron. So,
really,
well, we have the whole slew of shows. Obi-Wan's coming. What's his name? Kumail Nanjiani.
Uh-huh.
Watched the Obi-Wan, I guess the pre-cut.
Okay.
and he was just basically like, holy shit, that
really?
Is a lot.
Oh, dude.
And he's a huge nerd, so I trust his opinion.
That's exciting.
Yeah, he was very excited about it. And he plays he apparently plays a new character that we don't know anything about. So the one thing I can guarantee you about Obi-Wan, there's going to be Inquisitors in that show.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. What's her name got casted in Obi-Wan from Carnival Row. She always plays like the subversive bad person. Is it Maya Erskine? Is that her name? Oh, Obi-Wan's going to be 6 episodes. I thought it was only going to be 3. No, it's not.
They confirmed a while back that it was 6 episodes. It was going to be a 6-episode one-time series.
Indira Varma.
Indira Varma.
Sending you the IMDb now. She always plays the I start out as good and I'm bad.
Oh yeah, she was great. She was also in Game of Thrones.
She was in Game of Thrones. She played the Prince Oberyn's lover.
Uh-huh.
And the mother of the sand what were they called? The sand snakes?
The daughters. Yeah.
Yeah. But she look at her face and then put an Inquisitor uniform around her and just nod your head and go,
well, she
yeah,
essentially looks like the one Inquisitor that we had from Jedi Fallen Order.
Yes.
It's very, very much the same. I wonder why they wouldn't use her. Well, I know why they wouldn't use her character because it wouldn't match up. But I'm getting the same vibe here.
The one who gets shanked by Vader.
It was so good, though.
Oh, that reveal. You just hear clunk.
That was still like one of my most favorite moments. I wonder if I still have that VOD. Oh, that was so worth the entire playthrough was just having Vader show up.
So, and it was funny because we finished it on the same day. So people were coming in because you did it earlier than I did. And then people were coming earlier. Over to me. And, oh, it was hilarious. And they were coming in. They're like, oh, it's your turn now. We just watched Tim finish this. And I'm like, okay. I just was like, no way, no way. And then when the room and he's just ripping apart that room,
dude, we need another Star Wars game so badly.
We got a slew of them coming.
I'm excited.
Very excited. So yeah, that's it in the world of Star Wars this week. Tim and I'll be back next week. I'm probably gonna see, I'm gonna check on some of our guests, like you said, Alex, Molly, and
if you guys are fans of other Star Wars content creators and you'd love to have them here on Star Wars and Scotch, let us know on Twitter. You can tweet at us. You can tweet at Raredrop. You can tweet at KevinXVision or at Darkness429 or all three of us at the same time if you want. And let us know who you'd love to have or you'd love to hear have on the show here with us.
And I can tell you, for those that want Star Wars and Scotch to have our own social media handles, that your wildest dreams are coming true soon. So,
when you wish upon a star.
Paul got to finish the marketing plan first.
Hurry up, Paul!
You all have a good one. Thank you so much for hanging out on Star Wars and Scotch. Make sure you go grab the 5th anniversary collection of Rare Drop on HighScoreTees.com. It is the last chance. Very soon, they are going away. It was a limited collection. Making room for new stuff. Make sure you keep your eyes peeled on Tim's store there, too, because there's I hear rumors and I see emails
of
things coming on Tim's High Score Tea store. So
okay.
The future is bright if you like merchandise.
Yeah.
Do people like merchandise?
I'm not sure. I think people like merch.
All right. If you like clothes.
Yeah, I love
them.
I like being naked, but for some reason they keep on telling me to stop. So
who's they?
All right, guys, we'll see you next week. May the force be with you.
Yep, mate. Yep, that. Goodbye.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.